This episode of Pompey Talk is brought to you in association with Portsmouth.co.uk. To stay in the know about everything happening at Fratton Park, including the latest news, analysis and transfer updates, take out an online Pompey subscription with the Portsmouth News today at portsmouth.co.uk/subscriptions.
Hello and welcome to this latest edition of Pompey Talk. My name is Mark McMahon, and joining me today to discuss all the developments of Pompey is our sports writer, Jordan Cross. Jordy, welcome. Thanks for your time here. Let's get straight into it, seeing there's a lot to talk about. Yeah, the retain list. What was your thoughts when it was released on Wednesday?
It's every time the retain list comes out, it's a brutal time of year, isn't it? And particularly on this occasion, given off the back of the club's success, it's particularly jarring that on Sunday these people are being fated, but quite rightly, for their outstanding achievements this season. They're heroes. Some of them will go on to be legends. We've got a hierarchy when we use these terms, haven't we, Mark? You've got your players, you've got your stars, then they become heroes. That's kind of, and then then we try and differentiate between heroes and legends, which are the top 1%, your Alan Knights, your Jimmy Dickinson. So I think legends is often overused, but yeah. amid a championship winning team, I think we've got a couple of legends, you know, heading towards between heroes and legends, I would say, in the scow, and that being Marlon Pat, the captain, and Sean Raggett, the longest serving player to come through such adversity and face the challenges he has at Pompey, and we all know what the punchline to that fantastic story is. So when it was always going to be emotive, I think it's fair to say I saw the terms brutal, people shocked, and people talking in those kind of terms in the aftermath of the release list coming. When was it? Wednesday, Wednesday evening. If you're fortunate enough to have some perspective on it, as we are, it's not quite as jarring. I think in our heart of hearts, we saw a lot of this coming. But there were still some one or two people going in I wasn't completely certain about. There's still one or two surprises, I think that is fair to say. And I totally understand why people would say they're shocked. People picking this up, I think we used shocked in our headline, and some people saying they weren't. I think fair enough if you weren't, but there's certainly a lot of people that were. And I think it was totally justified to use that kind of terminology because it is brutal. It's the reality of where they are. And what I said in the aftermath of that coming out was, it is desperately sad and disappointing to see some of these players go. But what it does do is speak about Pompey's ambition and what they think the requirement is now moving forward to raise the bar in terms of the quality in the squad in the championship.
Yeah, no, definitely. Ambition is what comes out of it an awful lot of it, like just what their plans are. We'll go into that in a bit. But like Pompey were ruthless. There's no bones about it. They were ruthless here. Were you surprised just how ruthless it was? Bearing in mind, six members of squad are definitely not going to be here. Joe Morrell and Zach Swanson makes it eight. Like that's a big chunk of your squad, isn't it?
No, I think that John Messina, as he said himself, that it's a hard time to go through his conversations, but he's very matter of fact about it, John. It's a necessary evil. It's something that needs to be done, and he knows about where he wants his club to go. The club want to go in a direction headed, and it's a consequence of that. Was I surprised how ruthless? Not really. I mean, but just in the we're going to talk about the decisions. I thought Sean Raggett was coming. I think a lot of people thought that Sean Raggett was coming. Even himself, he went into it, as John said, with his eyes open and realising probably what was going to happen. I thought one of the right backs would be kept on. I wasn't quite sure which one it would be. I know there's that sort of situation with Zach that Swanson that would go on, but I thought there'd be a certainty about one of those. There's certainly not that at the moment. And the one which we can get into a bit later. But on the surface of it, was Joe Morrell. I thought his option would be taken up. Now there's some mitigating factors in that, and I understand with a bit of context why that would be the case. I think that was sorry for Joe as well. So that we wait to see how those pan out. But they're the areas mainly. But I mean, I've say such a swinging amount. I don't think there was too many other huge surprises. Obviously, emotive stuff and people wanting Raggett to stay, Rafferty to stay, etc. Thinking, you know, Joe Morrell, Swanson, options would be taken up. So, yeah, I can see why there were surprises there. And don't forget some of the youngsters as well. You've got like Haji Minoga, likes of that as well, Harry Duke Wright, Josh Docker, incredibly unfortunate young lad to get his contract and get the injury. But it's as I say, just underline the ambition. And it's got, they've got to be fair about where the club are going and the realism about these people being involved moving forward.
The two that stood out then we've already touched on were Sean Raggett and Rafferty, Joe Rafferty. Do you think they could have done a job in the Championship? Would they have been happy to maybe have been, say, second choice to maybe, yeah, I know Raggett played second choice to Regan Poole an awful lot this season until his injury, but would they two have been satisfied with playing that there kind of like more withdrawn role? Is that, well, that come into the decision-making process?
Possibly. You know, Rafferty's operated in the Championship. Could he do it now? I think he'd probably argue he could, but I think that maybe that's where there's a slight sort of disparate assessment between the club and him. I think Pompey might be looking to improve themselves and looking for a bit more dynamism down that right flank moving forward. Sean Raggett, until he was given the chance, you won't know. But I think what Sean Raggett is an out. You won't get better at League One level, and he's shown that he's just been absolutely phenomenal and continuing proving people wrong. And I've written about it so many times over the years. I remember getting that flack, and I was kind of going out on a limb and getting flack myself for backing Sean Raggett a few years ago because he's not everyone's cup of tea on the ball. But Pompey have a defined idea of where they want to go in terms of the way they're playing. They've got four contracted centre-backs who, if you look at their profiles, are very different to Sean. And there's it's going to be probably factoring clearly into the thinking about what happened there. Obviously, you know, these are everyone's love and appreciation of it. But I can see that. I think they could probably both personally think they have belief they could do it. Hopefully that's a motivation for them moving forward to prove, you know, Pompey's assessment that they can't, which is ultimately what's being said there, prove that wrong.
There'll not be players who won't be short of offers. I think that's a fair thing to say, wouldn't it? Both of them will be in demand this summer.
I think it's almost, you can almost go as far as saying that Sean Raggett could be the free agent at League One level. And that, you know, he would be the ultimate, you know, Joe Morrell as well. I mean, they're all going to be coming from Pompey the way they are. Joe Rafferty, all outstanding free up, you know, agents, and a consequence of Pompey stepping up. What it does do, and I think this gave some solace to the, you know, over the decision making process, I think there's probably a belief that Sean Raggett could go and get a 3 or 4 year contract somewhere at a very good club next season. Joe Rafferty won't be short of options. I can think of some clubs, and the rumours are going around already, aren't there? Some big clubs stepping up into League One with big budgets, big profile clubs, shall we say, without naming names, and clubs with ability to spend, not just one of them. There's going to be a couple that might be looking to splash cash and be amongst the even the bigger budgets at League One level next season. These are the sort of players that can hopefully get themselves set up quite nicely off the back of, you know, being able to get a new club in this summer.
We probably could have dedicated this whole episode to Sean Raggett and Joe Rafferty, like, in all honesty, but time is obviously critical for us, so we need to move on. What about Joe Morrell and Zach Swanson, though, that situation there? Pompey obviously had options in both of them and turned those options down. What's your reading into that, or what is the general consensus to that there tactic?
Well, if you start with Joe was the one that, as I say, probably got to pick one that was the most, you know, eyebrow-raising decision. It would have been Joe, because I think, he's an international footballer. He's shown he can operate at the, you know, the very highest level. So I know the Championship would not have been a problem for Joe. I don't think it's argued by Pompey either. I think they know he could definitely operate at the Championship. And I think there's hope that he still could as a Pompey player next season. But Pompey have to kind of, when they're looking at where they're going, what they have available in terms of the transfer and playing budget kitty, they have to look about what they've got, what they want, and get as much value as they can. Perhaps it's maybe just Pompey looking at that maybe they can get a little bit more value for bang for their buck. Maybe that's perhaps my reading of that situation. There's no doubt about what Joe Morrell can do. So that would be, yeah, looking at, they've got to protect the club. The player's got to protect his side. And it's got to, I think the phrase would be, you know, right for all parties, I think was John Messino's phrase. So that's that one. Zach Swanson, it's pretty clear to me. And, you know, I'm not portraying, you know, John Messina. I think I've just written a story sort of saying he Championship performer, you know, Championship potential, you got Championship quality. We all know the problem and question mark over Zach Swanson is the injury problems he's had. I think he's had 40 appearances, a lot fewer starts in 2 years at Pompey.
Yeah.
That's not all down to injuries, by the way. That's, you know, him fitting in and obviously the form of Joe Rafferty as well. But he's had three months in two seasons now, each season. So a total of 6 months with this groin issue that's hampered him. When he's come back in, I mean, I always seem to be giving Zach Swanson man of the match when he plays. Forest Green, he came in, and plenty of occasions. So I don't think anyone's doubting what Zach can do. And even again, remember Zach Swanson before Messino came in at Spurs in the FA Cup, outstanding display there. And obviously, you know, as a lad coming from Arsenal, would have been under the spotlight there. And thrived in that situation. So no one, least of all John Messino, is doubting what Zach Swanson can do. It's just trying to potentially look at protecting the club's corner, I guess, because of the injury issues, and maybe structuring a deal with that in mind. I think that's pretty clear for all to see for Zach. For me, his perspective, he can, you know, he's a good player, a good young player that a lot of clubs would be interested in, and Pompey know that they're, same with Morrell, that is going to be, it's particularly Morrell, I bet he can get some big offers, you know, really big offers at the top end of League One. And they're going to have people that are interested in them. So it's whether they can come to an agreement, how much being a part of the Championship journey with Pompey factors into it, or them setting themselves up with some decent deals elsewhere.
At the minute, I'm sort of thinking, and Terry Devlin isn't a right back by any stretch. At the minute, Terry Devlin would be Pompey's only right back option. Does that make that decision even slightly more bizarre? Don't want to use the word bizarre, but bear in mind they're getting rid of two right backs. Finding one right back this season to compete at the Championship level would have been tough. Finding two is going to be even tougher, isn't it?
Yeah, well, look at left back. I mean, I saw it sort of broadly as that maybe, obviously, but Conor Ogilvie's wanted, offered a new contract, got Jack Sparks there. Now, I see Pompey going out and getting another left back in, and ultimately, probably, we'll see how it goes in pre-season, but how those guys, but one of those two competing, and maybe one of those moving out on loan in the longer term. Mm-hmm. So, you look at profiles, don't you? That say if it was Conor Ogilvie that was kind of preferred over the two. He's a robust defender that defends more, can get up and down. But you would then pair him with something like a flying machine, wouldn't you? That you would try and recruit. So again, that's what I thought Pompey would like to do. They say they kept Joe Rafferty more of the sort of robust, you know, not quite as quick as some of the options that you can get in fullback or wing back positions, and going out and doing. Getting recruiting a young, exciting, you know, player in that department. So that's how I thought it would go, and perhaps that's how I thought. Certainly it was going to be the picture left back, for example.
How do you see the Morrell Swanson situation concluding? Are you anticipating both of them being there next season?
Oh God, put me on the spot. do I just say what I really feel here, or do I just flag it? with a politician's answer. I think that Zach Swanston, in my heart of hearts, I think that Zach would more than likely go elsewhere. Joey Morrell, with what he could earn, I wouldn't be surprised if neither of them are here next season, if I'm honest. I mean, to not take up options and then, you know, to renegotiate how they'd feel about that and what they've got available to them. Yeah, I think that obviously puts a big question mark over them. Joe, yeah, we'll see what happens with that one a bit more so, because obviously he can perform at championship level. They both can perform at championship level, but yeah, just trying to get a bit more of a hang on or read on Joe, and I can totally commit to that one. But yeah, probably gun to my head, I think that, you know, when that situation evolves like that, it's probably a good chance that players move on.
Right, fair enough. Then, well, quickly on then, Lee Evans again. Were you surprised by that? There, Evans showed enough throughout those couple of games he played near the tail end of the season. He's a quality player, but obviously, probably didn't get exactly what they were wanting, or maybe they don't think he's. Listen, what's your thoughts on that, Daryl?
You're digging yourself a hole there. I'm not really surprised. Evans came back off of a serious injury. He's proved himself now. From his point of view, he's coming from a short-term deal, and he will say, look, I'm back, you know, in prospective clubs now. You know, there's no, you know, I can now kick on, and he won't be short of takers. Profile-wise, I think he was quite similar to Marlon Pack.
Yeah.
Maybe that was a factor. But when they came in, which game was it? Was it the Derby game? It was a Derby game. Yeah, they're really good in some factors, those two next to each other, because they're both spraying the ball. They're really, you know, they're intelligent players. And then on the other side of the coin, and he would do this to most people, by the way, then Corey Blackett-Taylor just steamed through the middle and left them both for dead. Yeah. And Derby scored. And Corey, as I say, Blackett-Taylor does that to 99% of people, but it was just kind of like, yeah, we've not got too much pace in the middle of those two, have we, kind of thing. So profile-wise, you know, it's a yin and yang. But so... I think he came in, he's great around the place. He's a, you know, experienced player, big character. You said he's a leader. He was just what Pompey needed, as much for off the pitch as on it. But, you know, now with Pompey going back up and, you know, looking at what they need, and midfield will be certainly in that department in terms of improving. I just think they're looking for slightly different things, you know, moving forward. Let's get Alex Robertson back. Who would you take, Lee Evans or Alex Robertson, moving forward?
Alex Robertson every day of the week, like. Yeah. We'll get on to him, don't you worry. Don't you worry. Save your thoughts on that for now. But yeah, moving forward, let's think moving forward. Like, 12 players potentially leaving, if you include Morrell and Swanson. That's a big turnaround, isn't it? For, a team going up to the Championship. How big of a risk is that there, Jordy?
Yeah, it's a substantial one, but I think that, again, like it was last season from the season before, if you go from the season before with Cowley, where there was, you know, hardly anyone there, and there was a big, big, big turnaround. It was slightly more developed this season. And then, again, you've got more of the fundamentals in place now. I think it's 18 contracted, I think, I've just counted in total. So that's substantially more. Rest assured, though, you're looking at, I mean, you can look at it. I think John has kind of said that broadly happy with the front line. But a slight question mark over where you see Sadie. He plays deeper. See, then you look at a striker there. I think you'd probably, even with four centre-backs, you wouldn't be surprised to see a fifth come in. Left-back, centre midfielder, backup keeper. Definitely need wingers. Probably two or three wingers. Maybe a 10. How many is that? You're probably getting up to 8 or 10 there, aren't you? Let me count them up. Two right backs, of course. Yeah, nice. No, so, you know, you're looking at double figures again. But then if you look at the squad, then next season in the Championship, 9 subs for a start.
Yeah. People forget about that, don't they?
20 straight off, isn't it? So you're gonna need more of the squad than you did this season. You're going to probably need another couple on top. So, you know, you're getting up to probably 26, 28 for the squad next season.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you about ambition and a bit... in the Championship, but you've just rattled through the whole squad there. There's going to need improvements. What are the key positions you feel Pompey need to improve on? Not just replace the players that they have, but they need to improve on to make themselves competitive in the championship?
Oh, that's a really good question. Really good question. Obviously, right back, we need two right backs. Not that it's a key position. I think centre backs. I'm talking a fit Regan Paul in there with the other guys. I think McIntyre's got potential, big potential. I think Connor Shocknessy, we've seen what he could do. Riley Towler, by the way, I mean, what a lad. What a superb lad he's been. Great for the club. Hardly played this season. Three starts in the league. Plays well. Fantastic well. Man, the match in the final day. Doesn't agitate. So I wouldn't be surprised if they got Riley out on loan, but like a development loan, not one where you're like getting a loan to get rid. And then getting another centre back in, so that's one area. But I think the main areas for me really would be like the sharpen up in the middle of the park. But the big area really is out wide. Wingers. You need. We're going to need wingers at the moment. What have we got? We've got Paddy Lane. We've got Callum Lane. Where do you play Callum Lane? Do you see him as a 10 or someone out wide? And you're going to need additions there. So I think you're going to need two, maybe three wingers. And that's the place that really needs good attention. Obviously, we'd love one of them to be Abu Kamara. That's why we all want to be Norwich City supporters and get him up into the Premier League. Because I think in the Championship, he stays. If you're Norwich, why would you let Abu Kamara go in the Championship? You'd want to keep him, wouldn't you? You know, you'd either want to sell him for a load of money or you play him in the Championship. So Premier League, I don't think that would be the case. So that would be a big bonus for Pompey. Strikers, I noticed there had been a bit of a bone of contention off the back of our story and Messina saying he's happy. I think Colby Bishop deserves a crack in the Championship. People disagree. 40 goals, 20, you know, clearing 20 goals in the last two seasons. Cassini, Yengi. Look what he could be. He could be anything, and he could be anything in the Championship. He does what he does last season in the Championship for me. And Christian Saidy, he can be the development of what he has been and coming in and impacting games. But yeah, maybe deeper. If you put Christian as a 10, then you maybe another attacking option. And profile wise, maybe something young and a bit pacey, a bit different to what we've got up there at the moment. But as I say, I think that's a lower priority for Pompey. Certainly that's the vibe I get from speaking to people anyway. So yeah, if you're saying, you know, I've gone through the positions, but yeah, if you're answering your question, I think wingers are gonna be huge for Pompey. Players can actually beat the, I mean, Dembele, we've mentioned this week, as is someone who, and I've got to try and get this story in the right context as it sort of comes across as a transfer story. I think what's been said is that, you know, my understanding is that if someone like Dembele becomes available, Pompey bite your hands off for him. I'm not saying that there's a deal that's been done there or there's been talks taking place. It's just like if Dembele, who will be, is the epitome of what Pompey are trying to look at. So it just gives readers an inkling of where Pompey are in terms of the profile of the players they're looking for. And that is an exciting one for me, Dembele. That's the epitome of someone who can step up and do something in the Championship. There'd be no shortage of takers for him. If he was to go to a Premier League club, then hopefully you could get him on loan. His club in France are pushing hard for the Champions League. So is he going to fit in there? Would it be another loan? These are all questions that haven't been answered, by the way. So it's a long way.
Yeah.
Any deal or anything to happen there is a long way off. But it just gives people an inkling of where Pompey are looking and the kind of quality. And that, to me, is very exciting.
So you've mentioned you've said profile twice there this past minute or two. Has the profile of player Pompey are after changed because of now their Championship status, or is it very much no, but the quality of that profile goes up?
It's what you've said. The profile is, the bar's been raised. It's an evolution of the same policy. That's where it's at.
Yeah.
It's the same. Pompey aren't all of a sudden going to go and sign experienced 30, you know, Premier League players, or it's still the same policy firmly in place. Players that can be, been recruited now, they can be recruited because they can be developed as assets and perform at the next level. It slightly changed in January, quite right too, because it went into, let's get over the line, let's get the players that we need to get up this season. That's why you see people like Lee Evans come in. But now it's definitely just an exciting raising of the bar of that profile. So, for example, Dembele being a great person you could speak about, he had a great loan out in League One this season.
Blackpool,
he made a big impact. He then goes back. If he goes out on loan, his next loan is going to be to the Championship. Or if not, if he gets a move to the Prem. So that's now someone that's in Pompey's sights that wouldn't have been beforehand. I've used the example of Magoma at Bolton, who's gone from Brentford, ripped it up in League One. He may even go back to Brentford and feature at Premier League level. But if not, he doesn't come back to League One, does he? Alex Robertson, if he had a full season, I mean, where would he be? Sky's the limit for him. As it is, he had an outstanding half a season. I still think his next loan is the Championship when he goes out again. So if we'd probably not gone up, these players would have been, forget it. As it is now, that's the evolution of where Pompey, in terms of loans, for example, where they're going. And again, players have come available to them as a result of the level that they're standing at.
I think a question that's on everybody's lips then, how do Pompey afford this then if they want to remain sustainable? What is the budget? Like, is it going to just automatically double from what they're currently operating on, or do Pompey still need to be smart with their money and be cute with their signings? How can they make this leap and make a success out of it?
Yeah, well, I mean, no one's hiding from the fact that what is effectively in and around the top six budget, which got pushed in terms of transfer fees and it's top in and around top six, I would say, but it was definitely going up last season. Where does that get you in the Championship? That gets you right at the bottom. At the bottom. So Pompey have to probably multiply that by a couple or a few their playing budget in the Championship. Fortunately, there's obviously going to be revenue streams coming in and an increase in TV money, for example. It's going to be many, many times what they were, what it was in League One. Obviously, there's a new deal coming in as well. So there's going to be a sharp intake in that. Pompey have got a very intelligent sort of manner of operating in a sustainable fashion. Now, people kind of get wrapped up in sustainable as a break-even model, but that's not the case. And Pompey will operate with losses in the Championship. They've operated with losses at the moment, but when that's being sustained by the owners putting in money as equity and not ramping up the debt of the club, that's a good thing, and that's why we've got much to thank the Arsons for. Now, it's quite actually. I did the story with John this week, and if you look at it, it kind of answers your question. It goes into a lot of depth about the way Pompey operates sustainably. Now, what they've done, the owners have put money in and looked to build on the infrastructure, and effectively the revenue of the club covers the wages. Now, that can happen, obviously, with money, the income's going up, and hopefully, we'll look at where the revenue streams come, but obviously just from TV and money alone, that sharply goes up in the Championship. That gives Pompey leeway to then say, well, okay, if your revenue equals your wage bill broadly, then the rest of the money that's being put in, for whatever reason that was to stop one day, we're not going to crash and burn and do a Derby County or a Reading or whoever. It's still sustainable. And that's that buzzword, sustainable. So Pompey can go up and it will be able to increase substantially, you would have thought, on the basis that a transfer fee has been another one. That doesn't, that's once you pay a transfer fee, you can put that money in. That's not going into your wages, is it? So you can go out and pay money for players or do the training ground or spend 12 million on Fratton Park or pay £500,000 for a player or however much it is. That's still sustainable if you're being able to cover what's going out of the club in terms of your wage bill. So I think that's very, very, as a sports writer, should we say, and not Kieran Maguire, that's the kind of broadly the model of it.
Yeah.
To be a financial expert, but in a nutshell, hope it made some sense.
Well, okay then, let's move on from that subject then. What about the loans? Some very successful loans this season. Alex Robertson, Abby Kamaru, Tino Angerin. I get the impression Joe Massino likes Tino Angerin and wants him back next season.
I've not written the story yet.
Do you reckon Pompey will be? I know at the end of every season, there'll always be a story. Yeah, we're interested. We want to keep them. Is that the same this season, or is there a wee bit more depth to that their interest this year?
In particularly, what the all the loans?
Well, like, say Alex Robertson. What's the chances of Pompey getting Alex Robertson back next season?
Yeah, I would be hopeful. I was very, I've been very optimistic, and I've put it to John Messina this week. Oh no, was it? Was it the week? No, before that, actually, it was last. It was before. It was off the back of winning the league. We spoke about Alex Robertson, and obviously being around, and he obviously loves the club. He's come back in those games for Shrewsbury, and then it's sort of the title games, and it's fantastic. And he's obviously got an affinity with Portsmouth, and he's there at Bolton, and you don't have, you know, players doing things like that unless there's a connection there. And I know a lot of Pompey supporters have collared him and sort of taken optimism for the fact they said, yeah, I'd like, love to come back next season. But as John Messina quite rightly said in the laugh when he said he brought some laughs, because it's my question. I said, no, the fans are optimistic because, Alex is saying to them he wants to come back. He said, well, yeah, if you're being cornered in the concourse at Bolton, I don't think you'd be saying no, are you?
Exactly.
But no, that is a genuine... got a genuine affinity. But what John was getting at is it's ultimately it's Man City that have a big say on things as well, isn't it? And where how things pan out for Alex Robertson, and where does he go, top end championship, or does he go to someone who has just come into the division? Where's the natural next step for him? Pompey have got a lot going in their favour, I'd say, but it won't be clear. And as will be the case with all the lines, as well, it's a kind of you've got to, even with the optimism that you have, put a question mark on it, because you know how it works. The players, the loans don't come out when you come back in transfer window opens, does it? Or players come back for pre-season training. They always go late in the window because managers assess their squads and look at what's available. They know what happens. They might, a player they got earmarked to go out might start ripping it up in pre-season and surprise you. And then he comes back into your plans. And all these imponderable injuries and things like that. So they tend to always happen late. So a lot can happen between now or June when the window opens and the end of August when these loans tend to develop more. So, but yeah, I think I'd be broadly optimistic with Alex Robertson. Abu, I thought we've kind of covered with the fact that, you know, you want Norwich to get promoted and that improves that one. And then hopefully they don't cash in on him. I don't think they would. Tino Andrew, a good one again to pick up on, because he's come back. He's a great lad. All the preconceived ideas about players coming from clubs, big Premier League clubs, and being through the academy system and being cocky.
Yeah,
he's the antithesis of that. Like, he's just such a lovely, nice, warm lad, Tino. And he's had a horrible, horrible run of injuries, but he came back. He, even at the end of the season, when I spoke to him, he sort of said, "Oh, I knew, after Pompey paid my wages, I felt like I had to come back and really put it in and put myself as a debt to them." He felt like he was impressive. You could see he had a bit between his teeth at the end of last season. This season, so he came back in. He's fought really good, some good performances. I think second half at Bolton, you know, and other performances when he came on at Fratton Park. I think there could be a deal to be done with Tino. I really got the vibe that, if they can again structure it in such a way, which I think they did this season, where by you cover yourself off with his injury record. Yeah, so I don't think there's any questions about his quality. I think Tino's operated in the Championship before, and those Pompey fans who have watched him this season would know that he could operate in the Championship again for sure. So, I'd be optimistic. Miles Pitt-Harris, again, like what I said about like Tino and the other lads, he's not what you think he is. He's a good egg and quite a nice character. Has he done enough? And he's really great. Pompey fans have taken him to his heart with his kind of his genuine sentiments to the football club, how he's been really embraced being here and being a part of things. I get he's really like become quite popular, and more popular than probably a lot of people would have anticipated. His form variable, coming man of the match against Port Vale. Dropped off a bit, but then came back. And as John Messina said as well, I think they're really pleased as a loan spell with Miles. Does it get him back here? I'm not quite sure. But good loan spell, good lad, and part of a title winning squad, isn't he?
Yeah. Listen, I've got three more questions to ask. So appreciate your time here. Let's talk about players who remain under contract at Pompey but may still leave. Is that a possibility this summer still?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that depends on a number of factors. What happens with like recruiting? Can Pompey get their targets? Do what options become available to them, open the door to other players potentially leaving? There's certain imponderables, and what you probably look at there is then if they do, it does pan out, then you might well see a contracted players get an opportunity to either move on, and I think they've said this, John Messina said that himself, it will be revisited, or if not, if they remain under contract, potentially then move out on loan. So you can think of people like Ben Stevenson, who wasn't his contract, he wasn't around too much this season in terms of football. What happens with Jack Sparks? Absolutely revelation with his assists this season, and I don't think I've seen a player, a fullback with a delivery quite like him at Pompey for Matt Taylor, maybe, since Matt Taylor off the top of my head. Absolutely outstanding, but does he make the step up to the Championship? That would be assessed in pre-season. So there's a number of players that fall into that category in terms of contracted that will be revisited, I think.
Okay. What about the pressure on Rich Hughes then? Obviously, he's come in to the Pompey, he's done a magnificent job. It all starts again, doesn't it? People start judging him now from this window onwards. Like, so there's a lot of pressure on his shoulders.
Always is, though. But I think, talk about credit in the bank. I mean, wow. I mean, he's not got the pressure of like a couple of failed transfer windows behind him, is he? He's fixed his sword. And I mean, who would have anticipated in the time that he's coming to the club? So September 22, was it? I mean, in sort of 18 months or so, he's standing is through the roof in the game. I'm sure there'll be people at football, but there is, because it is that game. But we'll be looking at what Rich Hughes is doing as John Messina. Well, absolutely no doubt about that. But they seem invested in the mission at Pompey, and that's really heartening and keen to push on. But yeah, there's pressure on Rich. He knows the rule of the game. You're probably only as good as your last transfer window.
Unfortunately,
In the business that he's in. I think he's well placed to continue. And I don't think he's going to kind of revolutionise the way he's operating. I don't think he's just going to divert from the way he's gone about his work. I just think, as I say, that evolution of it and just moving up in terms of the profile of players that he's looking at and developing, rather than going, right, okay, we're going to all of a sudden go for slightly different profiles and change up. I think they know what served them well so far, and I think that's well set to continue.
Right, okay. And finally for me, I know it's early days, can't get any earlier, I suppose, but what do you reckon Pompey's ambitions are for the Championship next season? What's good season?
Ipswich part two. That's totally it. I don't think they can say that. I bet when they see that, they see these pundits say, oh, Pompey can, the status of Pompey as a club, I mean, they can go and do what Ipswich did last season. I bet they're sort of sat there in the football operation going, tell you what, I'll come out, I've said it privately, I've not said it publicly, but fourth bottom next season, I'll bite your hand off for it in the Championship. I mean, I know it sounds kind of not negative, but come on, let's be realistic about the world that Pompey are entering. And I know what Ipswich, what's done, what's happened there, and that then people, that raises ambitions, but Pompey need to go in. They've been out of the division for 12 years, and Pompey are a very different beast to Ipswich, by the way. I should emphasise that. Let's look at the way that the models and what they're doing. Well, I don't think Ipswich are a sustainable club, but like Pompey are. And that doesn't say it. That's nothing to do with differences of ambition at all. Pompey will be ambitious next season. It's exciting what they're doing. But Ipswich is a different level altogether in terms of what
you just have a look at the spending they did in League One. Like the players,
well, exactly what I was about to say, what they spent to get out of League One is like way higher than like a lot of Championship wage bills. So, and then they've gone on. Okay, then they go on, and let's give them some credit as well, because obviously with the clubs in receipt of parachute payment, they're not like number one in the playing budgets in the Championship, but they're very competitive. So let's get away from that Ipswich comparison is what I'm getting at. Look at Pompey. Yeah, no, I mean, extreme to say fourth bottom, but just can Pompey go into the Championship, establish themselves, get used to a new terrain, a very different one to 12 years ago. Very, very different one. The insanity that Andy Cullen talks of in terms of the Championship and the money there. Can Pompey go in there and go in with a good plan, a plan that's not dissimilar to teams that went through the Championship. Let's not forget about teams that have done it as well. Playoff finals between the likes, you know, like Coventry getting there as well, and Luton getting out of the division. Huddersfield not too many years ago, off the basis of decent investment, but not insane investment, and doing it on a model where they can establish themselves. So that's what I'm looking for Pompey. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to going to some press rooms with some decent food. I'm looking forward to not sitting in places like Accrington. I know they're in the League Two last season, but the likes of that and Fleetwood, freezing myself behind a desk for 6 hours with no press room to go into, and just a place I might be able to get a little bit of warmth when the cold kicks in and things like that. So yeah, I'm not going to get any sympathy from our viewers and listeners, am I? But I do know it's a privilege, really, and I'm very much like everyone looking forward to going back to the, not quite the land of milk and honey, but milk and honey minus one in the Championship.
Brilliant stuff, Jory. Really appreciate that there. We've covered a lot of bases there. So yeah, good stuff. And thank you all for watching. We'll hopefully be back with a couple more of these over the course of the pre-season. Stay tuned. In the meantime, thank you and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to the Portsmouth News website for everything you need to know about Pompey.